Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Don. You are listening to The Maggie Don Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm joined this half hour by Alex Yaquez, Chief of Policy and Advocacy at Groundwork Collaborative and a former official on the White House National Economic Council. Thanks so much for sticking around, Alex. Before the break, I was teasing a little bit about this thing that no regular people have heard about called the de minimis exemption and the fact that this is maybe part of what is driving the cancellation of so many consumer orders of products that cheap products that come from abroad. Tell us what the exemption is and what Donald Trump has done to change it.
So the de minimis exemption is essentially an exemption from tariffs on products that are imported into the U.S. that have less than $800 in value. This is how major online retailers, think Amazon, get product in without incurring heavy tariffs where they're imposed. It has also been definitely a source of controversy. The $800 limit was imposed in 2016. In the Biden administration, we had discussions about lowering it or changing it due to the influx of companies like Temu, which are using that exemption to flood the U.S. with cheap goods that sometimes undermine U.S. producers. Donald Trump announced the closure of this loophole after closing it for imports coming from China earlier. It goes into effect this week. And I think in keeping with Donald Trump's style on these kinds of announcements, did about no work in how to actually implement it. So you're seeing international post offices essentially say they won't ship to the U.S. anymore because there's no system in place to actually collect the duties and get them to customs and border protection. And so I expect the rollout of this policy will be extremely tumultuous for consumers, and they will be likely hit with either cancellations or big surprise bills that they hadn't intended on paying.
No plan for implementation. That's what the red hats should say. No plan. A man plan. No plan. I joke, but it is very serious business. It's an absolute insanity, much like all of Donald Trump's tariff policy, that something that would require such meticulous implementation literally had not a whit of forethinking to it. It's stunning to me. I mentioned the Nudnik Lutnik before the break. Of course, I'm talking about Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnik, whom every time he opens his mouth, I am fairly convinced he knows even less than he did the last time I heard him. He was talking about Donald Trump's seizure of 10% of Intel and saying, no, this is capitalism. Government extortion of a private company to turn over a huge percentage of ownership of that company, not temporarily, not because there's some crisis, but to simply hold it in perpetuity, does not sound like capitalism to me. Alex, explain to us what the heck just went on with Intel.
So recently, after Donald Trump essentially accused the Intel CEO of being an agent of the Communist Chinese Party, the Chinese Communist Party, he had him over and into the office where he essentially made a deal that Intel would hand over about 10% of its outstanding equity or of its existing stock, making the U.S. government the largest shareholder in the company. And in return, Donald Trump would say nice things and stop pressuring him to step down and remove pressure from the awards from the Chips and Science Act that was passed under President Biden a couple years ago. Now, I think there are very legitimate reasons why an equity stake by the government might be used to effectuate an industrial policy in times of emergency, like the bailout of GM and Stellantis or Fiat, Chrysler at the time, where the auto industry was going bankrupt and needed support to restructure, or in the instance of small startup companies that are looking for capital that they can't get in the private markets, and the U.S. believes that there is a legitimate bet and a national or economic security concern going forward, you can see why an injection of equity might make sense for the government to do. Intel, there's not only not been a rationale stated, it doesn't seem like there is any rationale whatsoever for this move. It is not going to help Intel manufacture new leading edge chips. It's not going to help them find customers and may in fact make it more difficult for them to compete with companies like TSMC, which are watching this interaction very closely. It's just another one of these moves that seems to be driven by Donald Trump's own ego. He wants to own personally stakes in these large companies and not driven by any sort of strategy, economic or national security aside.
Alex, how concerned are you about our ability to actually accurately assess economic data? And listen, the new guy who has no business running the Bureau of Labor Statistics is not going to be able to like flip a switch and make all of the data bad. And so there was, I think, a little bit of overstatement of the concern. But what we're seeing, whether it's the CDC, right, or the Bureau of Labor Statistics, is that, gee whiz, what's it going to actually, are we going to be able to rely on that data in a year or two or three? What's your long range thinking? What is the Groundwork Collaborative planning? And do we need states, local governments, and universities to step up with other data collection?
I think the answer is I don't know. And that's almost worse than a no, because the uncertainty, what is this data going to look like? Can we trust it? Is it going to be published in the same way and through the same methods at the same times as it has been? That's going to be the question that everybody is asking. And without it, without high quality data that we can rely on, and the US government produces some of the highest quality economic data, not just in the country, but the world, people, you know, the Federal Reserve, businesses, Wall Street, everybody's flying blind. And so I'm watching this very carefully. I'm very concerned. I do think we will need to step up our production of data from alternative sources and be vigilant in the government data that's coming out.
Folks, that's Alec Yaquez. He's the Chief of Policy and Advocacy at Groundwork Collaborative. Come back soon, Alex, and let's talk about this data problem, because I have some thoughts as well. Without good data, you always get bad policy. Stay with us.
Thanks, Maggie.